All right, so let's get started again. The next talk is by Anton about optimizing BPF hash map and friends.
Hello, I'm Anton, working at DataPath team at Isovalent. And yeah, this is talk about how simple it is to optimize BPF hash map. So about a year ago, like a little less, Andrei Nakarika suggested to try new hash functions for BPF hash map and BPF stack trace map. And in Siloom we use, and in Tetragon we use hashes extensively. So for us, it's a big deal, and I decided to give it a try. So I will briefly provide some like benchmarking how-to 101, and then we will take a look at different hash functions, and then we will see benchmarks for hash maps, which utilize old hash functions and new hash functions. So first thing to do when you benchmark is to try to reduce noise, because modern CPUs do everything to ruin your benchmarking. They will run on different frequency, hyper-threading will get in, and in the best case, you benchmark inside kernel because you can disable preemption and interrupts. So benchmark. We take, if we want to benchmark some function, we first measure some kind of time source or clock source, and then we execute our function, maybe in a loop, and then we measure time once again, and then we divide the number of observations by the number of loops and get our result. So in some cases, we can't execute our function in a loop. For example, if it's not like an abstract hash function, it's just if it's just part of kernel, then n is obviously equal to 1, and we need to take into account the time it takes to get time. One obvious way to do this is to benchmark an empty loop. And this gives us like roughly how long the get time function works. And typically people benchmark with something like RDTSC instruction. And if you don't reduce noise, then RDTSC instruction is pretty unstable. So here my CPU obviously runs on two different frequencies. And if my function, which I want to benchmark, runs 30, 40 cycles, then deviation in this case is bigger than the function itself, so I can't rely on it. So if we disable, like reduce noise, as I said, then results become way more stable. So here it's like, maybe it looks scary, but it's actually like 37 plus minus one cycle. So even for very small functions, this makes benchmarking more reliable. But in this form, RDTSC doesn't work because it's not a serializing instruction, which means that if you insert your code here, then it can be executed in the middle of code and even after your code. So, and it can differ from execution to execution. And so we need some way to serialize it. And luckily, there are known ways to do this, so we just serialize it. And there is a white paper written like maybe 10 years ago about Titanium, and it's still valid with some changes from architecture to architecture, but yeah, we can do this. In this case, benchmarking, like the offset takes a little bit more, like it's not 37 cycles anymore, it's 70 cycles. But again, it's pretty stable, and we can use this number to offset our measurements. And in fact, I did such benchmarking when I don't run in a loop. I then switch it to like more dumb benchmarks when you do loops over BPF maps, because it's harder to port things. And if you want someone else to try these benchmarks, they will have to patch their kernel, and this is not simple. So let's take a look at several hash functions of interest. So jhash is currently used hash function in the BPF is Bob Jenkins hash, and it probably was developed some 30 years ago. So Spooky Hash is another. It's a newer version. It's not a newer version. It's a newer hash by Bob Jenkins. And then there goes XXH hashes, XXH 32 and 64. It's a previous generation of these functions. They are available in kernel, and we can try them as well. And XXH 3 is like the state of art hash function. If we just take a look at this plot, the orange line which goes there is J-hash, which is currently used. The green line, which looks to be winning here, is like the previous generation XXH64. The blue line, this is the newest generation XXH3. And while it looks here that it doesn't perform as well as XXH64. For small keys, it does outperform it. And for BPF hash maps, we're primarily interested in using it for small keys. Like, I don't know, I never use it, huge keys. And in any case, this, XXH3 works faster than Jenkins hash, and later I will show that it can be actually run even more faster. But one interesting thing is that the Spooky hash, it actually it performs pretty bad for small keys because it has a lot of setup, which it does in any case. But later it starts outperform every hash function. I was interested when it does it. So it does it at about key size of 9,000. It's cool, but it's not the key size of interest for us. So if we take a look at XXH3 and J-hash, we can see that the blue line, XXH3, it actually outperforms J-hash for all key sizes. And there is also this green line. It's J-hash 2. It's optimized version of J-hash, which can be used if your key size is a multiple of 4. And it's actually used in Bloom filters, but for some reason not in hash maps. So if we take a closer look at small key sizes, we see that, yes, XXH3 outperforms J-hash. So for me, it's enough reason to try to benchmark maps with it. And let's take a look now at BPF maps which use hash functions. So first one is tech trace map, and then hash map and Blom filters. So tech trace was actually the main reason for Andrei to propose XXH3, because what it does, it takes a tech trace, and then it hashes it and creates a map of IDs which refers to the traces. And if there are hash collisions, then old stack traces are lost and we get incorrect picture about the system. And stack traces is not too random. So if your hash function is not very good, if it doesn't have very good avalanche properties, then it will create more collisions for less random data. And XXH3 behaves way better than J-hash for avalanche properties. And this is one of reasons and the main reason to use it for stack trace. The other reason, as I benchmarked, it's also for stack trace, it also runs about twice faster for typical key sizes, because typical key size is 8 bytes per stack depth. And this is typically 60, 80, 100 bytes. So XXH3 is a very good candidate here. So for hash benchmarks, I was primarily focused on lookups, because this is what we do the most. And this is the thing which is easy to measure compared to more complex pictures. So there are some links to benchmarks I used and scripts to actually execute benchmark and plot it, because like for every change I had to draw something like 100 or 150 pictures for different key sizes, for different fullness of hash maps, so it's impossible to do otherwise. And I had a few pictures here. So if we just use XXH3, then it looks like the new map, which is orange, it outperforms the original map, which is blue. And here is lookup speed in cycles, vertical and horizontal axis is key size. So the bigger the key, the better, the more gain from using the new hash function. But if we take a bigger map, I see that XXH3, as it is, degrades for key size 4. And this is already, for me, it's a blocker. I can't propose a change which degrade existing applications. So then I went to a different architecture, microarchitecture. And here I saw that it degrades for different key size. Here it degrades for key size 12. And if we take a bigger map, it also degrades for key size 24. And then I thought how to fix this, because if it works for bigger keys, then maybe I can utilize this. And I did the same thing as Bloom filter currently does. So Bloom filter executes jhash2 for key sizes divisible by 4, and it uses jhash in other cases. So I did the same. Utilize jhash2 for key sizes which are divisible by 4, but for small ones, key length divided by 4, key length 32, it's actually computed. It's just key length divided by 4, but it's computed during hash initialization, and we can decide for which key sizes we do this. And with this hash function, I finally see that it doesn't degrade anywhere. So this is 10K, 100K, and 100% full, which is the worst case. And if we take another slice, this is a 100K map with key size 8. And on the left side, it's almost empty. On the right side, it's 100% full. And the bigger key size, the bigger gain for particular key size. So for key size 64, new map with new hash function runs about 50% faster. And for key size 128, it runs almost twice faster. And Bloom filters, as I mentioned, they use the jhash 2 for keys divisible by 4. So I don't expect any gain for keys divisible by 4, at least for small keys. And it looks like this. So this is an extreme case of Bloom filter with 9 hashes. But I just did it so it reproduces the plot of hash function here. And yes, for small keys, it is the same. And for bigger keys, we have a gain. And here's the key size 240, where XXH3 function originally utilizes vector instructions. And we can't use, obviously, vector instructions in BPF maps. And for key size 240, it is expected to start using vector instructions. But there is also scalar implementation, which works faster than jhash, but it degrades at this point. So, and another thing to mention, that old hash functions, jhash, xxh, 64, they were designed and optimized with O2 option in mind. So if we switch to O3, then they will behave the same, but XXH3 actually runs 50-60% faster, so it actually performs way better with O3. So I just jump here. So, and I know that O3 is no go for kernel. There were several attempts to introduce it, and The reason was that there are no candidates which benefit from this O3, but this one is a particular candidate, like hash. If we could use O3 for hash map, because not only for x86, because it should be inlined, then in this case we would be able to get rid of this composite hash, which mixes hashes, and just use it as is. So as I said, for stack trace map, it definitely makes sense to use it. So there is both benefit in speed, small one, because stack trace map, the bottleneck for speed is not the hash, but the bottleneck for hash collisions is the hash. And for hash map, it's a question. Maybe someone would advise me on what to do with O3. And after I run like benchmarks on slightly bigger number of architectures, then I think this is also like a good candidate to use in the hash map. So here are some links for benchmarks and paper which I use it for those who will be reading this. And thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Any questions? You?
For the O3 thing, can you only compile maybe the hash map file with O3?
Yeah. If it is like currently it is disabled like for every file in kernel. For custom build we can enable it, but like generally we just pass O2 everywhere. If it's possible just to compile BPF maps with O3, this will solve the thing. Yes, it's not such big change.
So you don't have to compile the whole kernel with
O3? Yeah. Okay. Only it's local code.
Okay.
Any other questions? No? Then thanks a lot.